As the Super Bowl champions, do the Rams get all of the respect that they deserve? That's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. My name is Travis Rogers, free and available wherever you get your podcast. The podcast, that is, not me. You got to pay me if you want me to show up somewhere. This is, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Not only do I host the Locked On Rams pod, but I also host the Rams pre- and post-game show on their flagship station, ESPN LA 710, right here in LA. Click that subscribe button in your podcast feed and make sure you're checking us out on YouTube as well. Our Locked On Rams YouTube channel is a great way to watch and listen to the podcast as well. So that is a very good way to do it. I was flipping around, looking at some stuff, reading some things, and I saw something about an Arizona Cardinal piece about what they are expecting for the Rams, what you need to know about the Rams heading into the season if you're a Cardinal fan. It got me to thinking, what are the other NFC teams hoping that happens to the Rams this year? We'll get into that in just a little bit. Stan Kroenke has a Lombardi trophy in his trophy case. He just threw a Stanley Cup in there as well. So we'll talk about what his ownership and leadership has meant for this team and what it might mean leading forward as well. But let's start right here. And this one kind of goes a little bit with that last one. But whether or not the Rams are getting the respect that they deserve around the rest of the NFL. And I was thinking about at the end of the pod yesterday, talking about the schedule and the fact that they're underdogs. And this is why you need to subscribe to the pod, so you're constantly up to speed. They're underdogs. And again, it's a half a point, so it's not like it's a huge deal, but I do think that it's interesting. And it's not like they were underdogs to the New York Jets. They weren't. This is the Buffalo Bills. This is a very, very good team that has aspirations to go, you know, championship level team in their own right. That being said, there is usually a jump-off point of defending champs that it feels is just a shade soft with the Rams. And here's what I mean. When Bill Belichick and Tom Brady would win the Super Bowl, even when Tom Brady would win the Super Bowl in Tampa 2 years ago, there was, going into the following season, this idea of, well, it runs through Tampa. It runs through Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers is always going to have a look at it. And, of course, you got Patrick Mahomes. And there's this group of teams that is talked about as the teams that are always in the mix in the NFL. And it's the teams, it's wherever Tom Brady happens to be. It is the Green Bay Packers. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, and some of these other teams that are just perennially very, very good, right? They just, you know, that season after season after season, and the Patriots to a large degree when Brady was there, and maybe a little bit less right now. The Rams, in my estimation, should certainly be a part of that group. This is not a team that has done anything other than achieve or overachieve, right? That in the whole Sean McVay era, in the 5 years that he's been the head coach of this team, they've had one season where they didn't make the playoffs. And in that season, they were 9-7. And it felt like an unbelievable disaster. It felt like this team had underachieved. They were 9-7. Under the current setup of the NFL, they would have made the playoffs, right? The next year, a team in the same position that the Rams were in would have been in the playoffs. So he would be 5-5. When you're looking at teams that are set up for long-term success, is there a team that's better set up for that than the Rams, that has put together a track record of success and winning and went going to and thriving in the playoffs? I don't think so. Right? Think about what we're talking about. Think about the Seahawks over the last 10 years or so with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. There was this assumption, not that they were going to win the Super Bowl every year, not necessarily that at all, but rather that they were going to be in the mix to contend for division championships, playoff runs, and if things broke right, Super Bowls. And they did. They went to a couple. They won one. It is a very apt comparison to where the Rams are. But the conversations around the Seahawks, at least to me, and maybe I'm a little bit closer to it than the average bear, But it seems to me that the Rams have not been put into that conversation. When you talk about those teams that, you know, and I get it, that the AFC has more good teams. Doesn't that make the Rams more likely to go back to the Super Bowl? That you're only talking about a team like Green Bay, like Tampa, that those are the guys that are in your way. And I get it. Dallas could potentially be very good. But, you know, okay, Dallas hasn't been a playoff threat in 30 years. Rams have been a playoff threat four of the last five seasons. And yet it feels like they're just not kind of held in that regard. Because when you're talking about the things that build a team to have success over not just a season or two, look, that I don't want to say anybody can do it because not everybody can do it, but just about everybody does do it, where you'll have a season or two where everything just kind of breaks the way that you need it to break. You're in the playoffs, and maybe you win a playoff game, and maybe if it breaks really well, you'll find yourself in a conference championship. The Rams have been in the playoffs season after season after season. They've won with really good players like Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and Von Miller. And they've won with some players that maybe aren't quite that, like Jared Goff. Jared Goff's not a bum, but Jared Goff is not Matthew Stafford. Jared Goff's not flirting with a Hall of Fame career. Jared Goff, no one's looking at him saying, you know, you just get him on the right team and everything's going to click into place. No, he was on the right team. He did very well. And now that he's not, it's like, yeah, they're okay. They're not terrible, but they're also not a dangerous team. The Rams have the coach. The Rams have the general manager. The Rams have a philosophy, right? That whether it's the F them picks philosophy, whether it's the hoard on the draft picks philosophy, they have a philosophy. They go about things in a certain way, and it's working for them. They have a point of view. They have an owner that will spend money. They have an owner that's committed to winning championships. If that's not a recipe to be put into that group, right? And I don't quite get it. Sean McVay, megastar, best stadium in football, an unbelievably glamorous location in Los Angeles, and yet it's always, oh, yeah, and the Rams too. Oh, hey, you got the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and you got Tom Brady, and you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and never sleep on, the Buffalo Bills. And I get it, but the Rams, they've done all of these things. They have it. They have the coach. They have all of these players that have performed at the highest level. And why are they just thrown in as an afterthought? That's always been very strange to me. And it's not that they're looked at as, oh, they got lucky, but it's like, oh, yeah, they're here for now. Might be here for a lot longer than now because they've been here for 5 years. And as long as Sean McVay's around, as long as they have a quarterback, as long as Aaron Donald continues to be a good player, I don't even know how long he has to be a great, you know, transcendent player. As long as he's a good player, I think they got a chance to do a lot of work. Okay, coming up next, want to get into Stan Kroenke more specifically. Another championship for him. It's been a pretty good few months for old Stan. That's coming up next. But first, let's talk about our friends at BetOnline, right? Well, you know how to do it. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season, and it is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Golf, how about right now? Maybe there's some action on the LIV that you want to get down on, right? The golf tours are being fractured in half. You can get in on that if you want. Head on over to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So not a bad few years, and in particular, not a bad few months for Rams owner Stan Kroenke. As we all know, Stan Kroenke, owner of the Rams, won the Super Bowl back in February. Probably a pretty good day, right? That you get to hold the trophy up. You get to hold the trophy up in the stadium that is widely considered the nicest professional sports venue in the entire world for the time being. And I know that these things are opening all the time, and maybe it won't hold the title for super long. But for right now, you're going to be pretty hard-pressed to find a place that's more stunning and over the top and just basically perfect in SoFi Stadium. So, you know, he could bask in the glow of that. He could all just, you know, sit there and say, I won the Super Bowl and I got my team and I got paid Aaron Donald and I paid Matthew Stafford and I paid Cooper Kupp and we went out and got Allen Robinson, all of these things, and just, hey, come on into this unbelievable thing. And that's a pretty good selling point, right? If you're an owner of a team. He just won the Stanley Cup a couple of days ago, too. He also, of course, owns the Colorado Avalanche, who won their third cup in franchise history. So not a bad day. He also had a lacrosse championship as well. So three championships in the last several months. So good on Stan Kroenke. And while that's obviously a nice little run for him, for anybody, really, I do think it speaks to something larger than just, hey, it's been a good few months. Dude wants to win, right? That you can maybe catch it just right and win something. I'm not saying it's easy, but maybe just, for instance, the Rams could have in that very first year with Sean McVay, with Jared Goff, what did they? I think they went 11-5. They win the division. They lost to the first wild card round to the Atlanta Falcons. It's not inconceivable that that team could have won the Super Bowl. They could have. It was unlikely, but it's not inconceivable to where bad team, good team, right coach, right position, catch a break or two, boom, in the Super Bowl, kick a long field goal, win it. Not impossible. That's not sustained success. What they do have is sustained success. Look at the Avalanche. The Avalanche were the worst team in hockey not that long ago, and now they've built up. They've got some of the best players in the league. They just won the thing, and they're built for a very long time. This is not a coincidence. What this is leadership. What this is somebody that realizes that I want to win these things. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the Stanley Cup. And the way that I can do that is not by saying, hey, why don't we go get this guy or why don't we go sign that coach, but rather hire very smart people and turn them loose and let them go do their things. Let them be experts at what they're expert at. Joe Sakic in hockey, Sean McVay in football, Les Snead in football, Kevin Demoff on the football side or the business side of the football thing. Let those guys do their thing. This is how you get not just a cup, not just a Lombardi trophy, but put yourself in position to win these things over and over and over again. And it's money and it's more. Let me ask you this. How often do you hear about Stan Kroenke that don't have to do with him hoisting a trophy or buying up a bunch of real estate, right? Okay, he's buying a bunch of land up in the valley, up in near Woodland Hills area, and there's some speculation that that's where the Rams' new headquarters is going to go, that that's where they'll practice and have their offices, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so you're basically hearing about him when he holds the trophy up and when he buys expensive real estate, okay? Okay, I mean, he's a rich guy, he's a billionaire, he wants to build a facility. All right, cool. Do you hear about him the way you hear about Jerry Jones? No. Do you hear about him the way that you hear about Dan Snyder? No. Do you hear about him in the way that you hear about some other owners that are just kind of out there and involved in things that, you know, either directly or maybe indirectly affect the football product on the field? Not really. Buying real estate, building cool stadiums, and winning stuff. That's a pretty good recipe for an owner and a pretty good recipe as a fan to be happy about your owners, right? Let's kind of go around the town right now. We'll just take some of the top line teams here. When you look at the Dodgers, do you hear about their ownership group in negative ways? Not really, right? What you hear about the Dodger ownership group is, you know, they'll spend money like crazy. There's nothing they won't do if they think it's a good idea. They've empowered Andrew Friedman to go not only put his expertise to use, but when he needs to swing a hammer with a checkbook, he can do that too. Do you hear about him getting involved in personnel? Not really. Do you hear about them, you know, tinkering with the coaching staff? Not really. You know, you hear about magic in a game, Billie Jean King. Sure, cool. Celebrities. Awesome. It's LA. I get it. But the bad stuff? Not really. Dodgers successful? Yeah. By any measure, the Dodgers are wildly successful. Go down the road to Anaheim. Is the same thing true there? Nope. It's not. The owner is involved. The owner, they change the managers frequently. There is a sense that he is reactionary. There's a sense that he's impulsive. There's a sense that he, you know, wants things one way one day and a different way the next. And that's a very hard environment to work under. So that... Okay, with all that stuff in mind, constantly threatening to move the team to Long Beach or to Tustin or whatever it might be. But, you know, it's just noise that doesn't necessarily help the team. Are they good? Nope. Have they been good? Nope. Is there hope that they will be good moving forward? Hope, maybe, but is there any evidence to believe that there will be? Nope. Shohei Ohtani leaving? He might. Why? Because they don't win. Why don't they win? Well, the owner has a part of that. Go to the Lakers. The Lakers are maybe the best example of all. Under Jerry Buss, who I think, you know, loved being the owner of the Lakers, clearly, but put Jerry West in charge. Let Pat Riley do his thing. Let Magic Johnson have a great deal of control of these things. And then just, I'm going to let back and let my experts be expert. Worked really well. He passes. His family comes in and starts to run the show from there. How's that worked out? Not nearly as well. They're not involved negatively as far as like a Dan Snyder, but there's confusion. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of things coming along. Doesn't work well. Kroenke spends the money, builds the venue, lets the experts be expert. They win a lot of games. And it's not just, oh, yeah, he found Sean McVay. Okay, great. But his people found Sean McVay. His hockey people went and found whoever it is that you need to go find to win the Stanley Cup. All right? It's not a coincidence. And he deserves a great deal of credit for that. Okay, coming up next, I want to talk about what's going on around the rest of the NFC. And if you are a fan of one of those other 15 teams in the conference, what are you hoping happens to the Rams this season? That's coming up after this. Okay, so I was online and reading some Rams stuff, and I saw something that was everything you need to know about the Rams if you are I believe it was a Cardinal fan. And it got me to thinking about, and it was kind of, you know, whatever. As a Rams person, I felt like I had a pretty good grip on that. If you're listening to Locked On Rams, thank you for doing it. Appreciate that a great deal. Click that subscribe button both on the Locked On Rams feed and your Locked On Rams YouTube channel. But it got me to thinking a little bit. What does the average fan, the average team in the rest of the NFC, and I guess we could open it up to the AFC too, hope happens to the Rams this season? Because look, they like we've talked about a lot, they are the defending champs. They are the Super Bowl title holders at the moment. Every season is a new season. Everybody's 0-0 here starting in early September. But if you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals or the San Francisco 49ers or, you know, Tampa, Green Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City, any of Pittsburgh, Baltimore, take your pick. Any of the teams that could potentially be an opponent of the Rams in a playoff game or even a potential Super Bowl, what are you hoping for? Because, look, I know everybody, oh, I don't want anything bad. That's just not true. Of course you'd rather play somebody when there's a little chink in the armor as opposed to dealing with somebody who is – would you rather play the Rams with Aaron Donald playing at his Hall of Fame best, or would you rather play the Rams with Aaron Donald having that rib injury that he had against the Green Bay Packers a couple of years ago, right? That I think, kind of speaks for itself. So if you're one of those other teams, what are you looking at with the Rams and saying, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of these things go down? Number one, you're hoping right now that Odell Beckham Jr. decides to sign somewhere else, or when he does sign with the Rams, that he's not available until very late in the season, or maybe just is not quite what he needed to be and he's not fully recovered until a year from now. Right. I think that is possible. And if you're a fan of another team, that's a big deal. If you're looking at the Rams and you're thinking, you know, their health, the Rams got pretty lucky health-wise last year. And that's not lucky in like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Just you either kind of are or you aren't in any given season. Sometimes you have good luck with injuries. Sometimes you have a little bit worse luck and kind of is what it is. It's not within anybody's control, but you're hoping that maybe, you know, you miss a guy here or there. Maybe Allen Robinson doesn't quite work out the way that you hope that he would. Or that we did as Rams fan. Maybe Allen Robinson is less than Robert Woods. Not totally out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's certainly possible. Robert Woods was a really good Ram, brought a ton of leadership, which brings us to the next thing that maybe you're looking at saying, you know what, maybe what if the absence of Andrew Whitworth is far more impactful than we've accounted for? Now, I've spent a lot of time talking about it. I think they're going to miss him. Not just because he can hold that left side and do his job at a high level as a left tackle in the NFL, which is hard to find. But, you know, we heard the garage workouts, the leadership, the mentorships, all of the things, the communication with Sean McVay, all of the things that he was able to bring to a team, he's gone. Now, he'll be around, but it's not the same when you got, you know, a guy that comes in and says, do this, do that. It's different than a guy that's in there lifting weights, working out, sweating, bleeding, sore, all of the things that comes along. His absence could be a very big deal. What if Aaron Donald is 10% less than he was last year? Just 10. So instead of being 150%, the best play is 140. But maybe you can block him up just a little bit. Might be interesting. Might be interesting. Maybe Von Miller's departure has a little bit to do with that. Maybe that the other side isn't quite where it needs to be. And all of a sudden, the Rams are just a little bit less than that. The hangover is a big part. And that's, you know, that's one of the few things I think that is directly in the Rams' control. How do you prepare? How do you get ready? I have very optimistic feelings about that, but who knows? I mean, when you've climbed that mountain, it's hard to go all the way back down and then all the way back up to the top. There's a reason only one team has repeated in the last 20 years. One. Okay. It doesn't happen very often. And that hangover is a real deal. The schedule is a bear, right? The Rams have an incredibly challenging schedule, especially in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter of the season. They're going to have some very, very challenging teams. They still have not entirely been able to figure out their running game. Cam Akers, when he's right, is very, very good. He's not right all that often, has a little bit of the fumble bug. Daryl Henderson has been pretty good when he's been available, but he's available even less than Cam Akers has along the way. So maybe that piece isn't exactly figured out. Maybe Jalen Ramsey's two shoulder surgeries don't go exactly the way. There are some things that if you're in Seattle or San Francisco or Kansas City or Green Bay or Tampa or Buffalo or any of these places that you're thinking, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind it if that went like that. Hopefully none of them do. Hopefully only maybe a couple of them do. You're not going to run the table in the right way. That's kind of what happened last year where they got just about everything to go their way. I don't know if it's going to happen 2 years in a row, but maybe if that's 10 things I listed, maybe seven of them go your way and only three go against you. Last year, they were like 9-1. That's a pretty good deal. That doesn't happen very often. Neither does 1-9. So I don't think that usually what it is about 5-5, 6-4, 4-6. And then you got to fight like hell to make sure that it doesn't make the difference between you going home early or getting to where you're supposed to go. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Click that subscribe button. Make sure that that happens for you on the Locked On Rams YouTube channel as well. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen the Locked On NFL podcast. Our national NFL experts and insiders keeping fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news from around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.